Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're down to the Elite Eight. I don't know if they call it the Elite Eight. It's the knockout round. There are eight teams left. And Glenn Davis, the preeminent source of soccer talk here in the city of Houston, just the smartest damn guy. And we've got him on our show. Often this World Cup, and he will be with us throughout the 2026 when we're hosting as well. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, joining us once again here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What up, Glenn?
John, Lance, good morning. Man, what a day of drama yesterday.
So what do you think? Okay, so what do you think about going forward with Cristiano Ronaldo? How does this work out now for him? Is he relegated to the bench now from here on out?
Well, it's a fascinating development. It's like a soap opera, as you guys know. Look, I think it's pretty clear. We know he's a declining superstar. I know the fanboys are not going to want to accept that, but he is. And it was proven out yesterday again. It's been proven out at Manchester United, where he can't play in a pressing system. He's just not as mobile anymore. And this is a tough reality, and I can't even begin to put myself in his shoes. But will he accept the role of being somebody potentially off the bench? Because the kid who comes in and subs in for him is 21 years old. He's far more mobile. He's good in the air. He finishes with either foot, and he fits into a pressing style of play. And it made Portugal look like a completely different team. So I really credit Fernando Santos, the manager, for benching Ronaldo, because you know there are people there to see him as a celebrity sometimes and don't measure that with the soccer part of it.
Yeah.
Ronaldo Santos wants to win a World Cup, right? So
yeah.
Will Ronaldo accept a role as maybe being a guy that comes off a bench later in the game when people are fatigued? I don't know, because apparently he didn't want to train with the reserves today.
Yeah, he didn't want to train with the reserves, had an issue with being subbed out, has... We saw what he did with Man U, the way he got himself forced out. I mean, what a bad... And now he's about to take $200 million from the Saudis, which is just an absolute slap in the face in many ways. But
it's almost like wrestling. He's gone from the good guy to the bad guy.
Total heel. I mean, this has been terrible run over the last 2 months for Cristiano Ronaldo from a personal standpoint, I think. And it really kind of displays some character flaws, potentially.
Well, yeah, I think the emperor's clothes are off, and you know, we all look at people that are celebrity and superstar athletes, and listen, they're carefully measured with the way they're presented to the public. They got legions of people doing their social media. I just think it's sad. I think it's really sad, and his legacy is being tarnished. The game ends, all the Portuguese players. I mean, this is a stunning victory, 6-1 over Switzerland. This was supposed to be a closer game. Portugal fans now are thinking, man, we have a chance at winning our first ever World Cup, getting into that rarefied air. The whole team goes over to salute the fans, and Ronaldo goes down the tunnel and leaves them. So, you know, this is a problem for a manager. You really got to give it to Fernando Santos for making a bold decision, because I'm sure he had to go to the Portuguese Federation and say, hey, this is what I'm planning on doing. You better be prepared.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. So they looked unbelievable. They look so good. France has looked great. Obviously, Brazil. I mean, how are you handicapping the final eight here?
So, if we look at the final eight teams, guys, you know, back to some of our conversations that you led me into earlier in the week, and again, I really appreciate you bringing me on, courtesy of the Daspit Law Firm. You know, if you look at these teams, we see that all of these teams have finishers, pretty much. Right? Except maybe not Morocco. Morocco's going about it in a different way. Every single team has a finisher. I think Brazil-Croatia on Friday, Brazil's coming in incredibly rested. Their navigation of the tournament the best. Neymar's back. They are a better team with Neymar. I don't care what anybody says. Croatia's aging. They had to go to PKs to beat Japan. So you got to pick Brazil there. Netherlands-Argentina, that's a bit of a push maybe. Slight edge to Argentina simply because of Messi, who's got three. That's a great game. That's a replay of the World Cup. Saturday, you got Morocco-Portugal. Morocco is as stout as can be defensively. I mean, they are organized. They only conceded one shot to Spain and one on penalty kicks, knocked Spain out. Portugal's on fire now with Ramos now, the 21-year-old. And then England, France, two teams that can kill you in transition with explosive players and great goal scorers like Kylian Mbappe and Harry Kane. So, man, these are great matchups. I think the only outlier here really is Morocco.
Well, it's the outlier, but as you said, they're very good on one side. It's just it's hard to believe the way how creative Portugal was and how strongly they were attacking. It's just hard to believe that they're going to be able to keep them off the board like they did Spain. And isn't this a message to Spain with the way that Spain plays? Yeah. You look at the difference between Spain and Portugal and the way that they attacked or didn't attack. Doesn't Spain have to become? I know Landon Donovan made some good points during the match at some point. Like, you know, you've got to push the ball forward and play more vertically as opposed to playing, you know, the way that they played everything short. When they really tried to go after the, you know, back post on some of the set pieces and they really tried to get up in the air. And I just, what's the rationale behind that, Glenn, for a talented team like Spain playing the way that they do?
Well, it's a hard game to score goals, and even for Spain, when you go up against the highly organized Morocco. Morocco goes about it in a really different way. They really know exactly how they're playing. In fact, they had the better chances in the game on the counterattack and in overtime. But look, you know, the trend in this World Cup is you got to get around people wide. You got to hit these teams in transition. They were so good at getting back behind the ball. They're going about it in a really different way. In a 4-3-3, these teams are defending really narrow. They're not giving you a lot of room to go central and straight at a goal. And you got to go around them. You got to have a good wide game. You got to have individuals that can create themselves. You thought Spain had them. I don't think Spain, for me, was ever in the category of the Brazil, you know, and the Frances in this tournament. They were, you know, they were in the category below that, potentially winning the World Cup. They're still young. Pedri, Gavri, these are young guys. They got absolutely stoned by Morocco. They couldn't figure it out. And this is not going to be easy for Portugal at all if these guys can produce another effort like that. They are highly organized, Morocco. They're going about it in a different way, defending deep and not conceding space.
Does one win it for Portugal? One goal, rather?
Yeah, that's the kind of game it's likely going to be. It's going to be a singular moment. And, you know, you guys know, you know, the U.S., from a standpoint of mental focus and you know, in a game, concentration, I mean, they got caught on all three goals. And the three guys that got caught on these three goals were the guys that we were just lauding for being outstanding in the first three games in group play.
Under over 2.5 goals in England, France.
Under over 2.5 goals. Now, there's going to be goals in that game. I'm saying over. There's going to be goals.
Both teams
just too much attacking talent on the field.
Yeah, there's too much talent up front.
Too much. Mbappe, Ousmane Dembele. These guys fly in transition. I see this will at some point get really up and down, and I think. Yeah, for sure there's going to be goals.
Yeah, you know, the U.S. midfield matched up so well against England. I'm just kind of wondering how they're going to handle France. This is going to be – they've got to change some tactically. Do you think they become more defensive-oriented in their matchup against France simply because of Mbappe's speed on the flank?
Well, both of them like the transition game, so I think it's a good tactical matchup between Southgate and Deschamps. You know, because both can break out so quickly. You know, so I think they'll be taking turns of, you know, kind of who's in possession and who's higher up the field. But those moments where a team is caught committed forward a little bit, man, these teams are just so good at recognizing that. and getting the ball to their skilled, explosive players. That game is going to be an amazing game.
You watching it somewhere, by the way?
You know, I'm still thinking about what I'm going to do. I'm not sure where I'm going to. It's either at a Cobos or a Hugh O'Connor's or a Knicks. It's definitely going to be sponsors. At a place where if I go out, it's going to be at a place that is putting dollars behind soccer. That's my motto.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah.
Somebody who does your show.
No, I'm serious. I really think people that if they love the game and you recognize that there are people putting money into the sport and it's your game and you got a choice, support your sponsors. I mean, this is, you love the game. This is the way to do it.
Well, I'm telling you, like at Nick's place, every Saturday morning, he's got people going in there and
is
watching.
Is he at home of any of the Wolfram? Teams? No, Wolverhampton. That's right. Wolverhampton. The Wolves are over there.
That's the Wolves. Yeah, I know those guys. Paul LePage. Those are great guys. That's the nicest supporters group. So Nick doesn't ever have to worry about his place getting torn.
On a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock? No.
Glenn, do you have any pull with Arsenal or Chelsea? Because I'm going to be in London after Christmas, after Boxing Day when we're back, and I got to try to get tickets to go to my first international, my first Premier League match. I'm so pumped up. And
that's awesome. Good for you. Let's talk off air on that one. I may have an idea. By the way, Gabriel Jesus, their great forward for Brazil, got injured at knee surgery, and Arsenal's going to be missing him for a few months, which is sad.
If I gave you a goal and a half, would you take Croatia?
If you gave me a goal and a half, would I take Croatia? As much as I have respect for Croatia and, like, these great players, Luka Modric, Brozovic, Kramaric, I would not take it against Brazil.
A lot of itches, John.
A lot of itches over there in Croatia. No.
Yeah. You got to listen. The Croatians they're incredible soccer players. People were, talking about them, the way they hung in there against Japan. I just don't think they have enough in the tank now. Brazil, as you guys have seen, they changed their entire team out in their group, last group game. So they're coming in rested. They're coming in navigating this thing perfectly. They're healthy. They recovered Neymar from the ankle injury. And let's face it, they're a different team when Neymar's out there.
Big Croatian population in Chicago. We used to go to the Moji Feast every year.
Polish.
Yeah. The Moji
Polish
Feast,
too,
was,
right?
It was huge. Huge in Chicago. Then Argentina and the Netherlands. You like, will Messi score?
Oh, man. Well, if Argentina's going to advance, he will. Or he'll be the man who creates it. Let's see what the Dutch come up with. They were smart tactically against the U.S., we're going to find out if Argentina is for real. I mean, this isn't Australia. With all due respect to Australia, they were game. This is the Netherlands. Much like we learned playing the Netherlands, this is a clinical team, too. They've got finishers like Memphis and Gakpo, the young guy. So, yeah, this is going to be an amazing game. I think Argentina will have a lot of the ball in this.
Absolutely. That is Glenn Davis right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've got on the 18th is the final. So we've got still the quarterfinal matches coming up on the 13th and the 14th. So we got more with Glenn Davis coming your way here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What a great time, the Elite Eight of the World Cup. And we're watching this weekend, Glenn. This is going to be fun. And we will talk to you again next week. Let's do it again next week.
Guys, you're the best. I can't thank you enough for letting me come on your show and courtesy of John Daspit, but I can't thank you enough. You guys have been great. It's been so much fun knowing I'm coming on at 8 a.m. to talk World Cup with you guys. It's
great
awesome.
Stuff.
And our station also deserves a lot of credit for the support of the greatest sporting event in the world, the World Cup.
Yeah, no. I don't think anybody else is. I'm certainly not delving. Well, nobody else has Glenn Davis on their station. That's the difference. We got the Messi. We got the Messi of soccer talk right here.
And that'll be the only time I'm ever in a sentence with Messi.
Messi. No. Well, you played a lot like him, as I understand it.
No. It was a little
different
bit positions. Different.
It's all
right. It was only slightly different.
All right, Glenn, we appreciate it. 8:15 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 right here, ESPN. Let's talk a little FOCO.
Well, so FOCO, you can go FOCO.com. So what FOCO is, you're saying, what is FOCO? Well, FOCO is the company right now that has some of the coolest Astros-inspired Christmas presents that you're going to find anywhere. Really, really cool. They're licensed. They're officially licensed by Major League Baseball and the Players Association, which means the best Astros players and team gear is just a few clicks away for you. There are plenty of products to choose from as well. Collectibles like Big Head bobbleheads, where you've got, let's see, you've got Bregman and Yuli and Yordan, Altuve, Jeremy Pena. How about Kyle Tucker? You've got them holding championship trophies. Yeah, these are the cool bobbleheads you can do with home or away jerseys. You can design unique bobbleheads. They've got Christmas ornaments, hats, pajamas, footwear, and much, much more to put smiles on the faces of people, whether they're stocking stuffers or presents you want to give, maybe at the office, or maybe you've got an Astros fan who doesn't live in Houston who lives their lives vicariously through Astros games. Give them one of these gifts from FOCO.com/975. FOCO.com/975. They also have Texans, Rockets, Dynamo, UT, Texas A&M, and many, many more. So no matter what team you cheer for, there's a chance they're going to have that available for you. This makes a great Christmas present. They've got their 12 days of Christmas sale coming up. So right now, take advantage by going to FOCO.com/975.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. 820 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 737-803-776. You got something that you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. I think this is a reputable site here. They have FanDuel.
Why do we always have to lead with, I think this is reputable, in 2022?
Because you have to. Otherwise, you're going to take
it. I know,
you do. See, it has a FanDuel logo here. It's called Clutch Points. Do you know about Clutch Points?
Well, Clutch Points is an aggregating site a lot of times. Like, okay. Like a Yard Barker type.
Do you know who Rexwell Vias is?
Nope.
Okay.
Never heard of him. Sounds like somebody who might be at the Villa.
See, that's
in,
why I'm
White Lotus
I'm,
too.
That's why I'm leery in 2022. You have to be. Rumor: evidence surfaces on Major League Baseball juicing balls for Yankees games. Okay, so an astrophysicist, her name is Dr. Meredith Wills, and I'm assuming it's a she because the name is Meredith. But Manfred promised from the podium. Every baseball that's in use in 2022 was produced under the new manufacturing process, meaning the deader ball. And in fact, the process has resulted in a more consistent baseball. But according to a new analysis of more than 200 balls used in games during the 2022 season conducted by Dr. Wills, that's not true.
When was this article written?
Apparently, this article was December 6th, 2022. First published December 6th.
Okay, because I can't find it in Clutch Points.
You can't find it in Clutch Points? So it was December 6th. Are you sure you're going back far enough?
Well, I just went to Clutch Points, so.
You did?
Yeah, I'm just keep going, I guess.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to now because I don't know that it's, okay, so.
Like, that's kind of a big story.
It's a huge
right?
story.
Shouldn't I be able to find that?
You should be able to find that.
If you Google it, shouldn't that pop up?
You would think. Look up Goldilocks Baseball. And see
what's
if,
that? Why am I looking up that?
Well, it's the third baseball that's juiced, and it was found to be used in the postseason and only in Yankee regular season games.
What do you mean third?
It's
baseball?
The third type of baseball. There are two different types of baseballs being used, but apparently there's a third type, and it's called and it's the juiced baseball. And we found the Goldilocks balls.
Oh, you know what? So I think this is you're okay.
Yes, sir.
You're okay, yeah, because Fan Nation's got something insider now. ESPN, none of the major sites are running with it, but...
Well, anybody who's in bed with Major League Baseball is probably staying away from
this. It is, according to insiders Bradford William Davis, Dr. Meredith Wills analyzed the baseball. So that's where the story comes from, that baseball used multiple that Major League Baseball used multiple baseballs mm-hmm. for. Okay, so basically, let's say, go ahead and read that, and then we'll
Wills discuss. Used the term Goldilocks to refer to that third type of ball allegedly found during postseason games, including the World Series, the All-Star Game, and the Home Run Derby, and in regular season games when balls with commemorative stamps were used. Perhaps the most intriguing of all the locations where Goldilocks balls were found was in New York Yankee games. For one report said the only regular season Goldilocks which did not have commemorative stamps were found in games involving the Yankees. So apparently, yes, apparently Bradford William Davis is a parody account. Oh, see, that's a problem. See, Bradford William is a parody. That this whole thing is a problem. This whole thing is problematic. See, I just got Stephen Aid.
Baseball Insider.
Bradford William Davis, it says parody. Oh, yeah. See, thank you to Elon. Because Elon had told us that it's you have to say if you're a parody account. So, interesting. I don't know if we're going with this anymore. I think we just got ball sacked. I just got Stephen Aid.
Gotti! Gotti!
BleacherReport.com.
Well, there would have been
MLB reportedly used three different baseballs.
I don't know. It would be multiple accounts.
Different
that
weights
were,
during the 2022.
Yeah, season. That would be multiple accounts if that were the
well,
case.
Well, Bleacher Report has it as well, apparently. And this is Bleacher Report, right?
Did this guy?
Bleacher Report got it. Didn't we have a rate? Weren't we Bleacher Report radio at one point down the hall?
Not that I know of.
We weren't. We never Bleacher Report radio. Anyway, yeah. Apparently, I don't know if everybody's being got. But would it surprise you that Major League Baseball wanted the New York Yankees to have baseballs that were juiced for Aaron Judge to hit 62 home runs?
Okay, God, I don't know. Is this real? Because
was it beneficial to Major League Baseball that Aaron Judge broke Roger Maris's record?
I'll say this: this should be, if this were true, this would be the biggest story in sports since, to me, well, certainly since the trash cans of the Astros.
SI.com, MLB reportedly used multiple balls again in 2022.
Yeah, just because he has parody on there, that doesn't necessarily mean this isn't a story. If this is true...
3 hours ago, Gary Phillips wrote this article in SI, Fan Nation. Huh.
Well, now that's not... SI owns that site. But yeah, it could be multiple places duped. If this is true, this should be one of the biggest stories in the history of baseball. This should turn into a massive story. Maybe the government gets involved with this. There should be... If you're telling me that you are literally jerking with the with the results of the game intentionally, you're intentionally altering the results of the game. How is that not game fixing?
And it's funny, these juice balls outside of the Home Run Derby, outside of the World Series.
I'm so tired of hearing about juice balls. How is this not a bigger story? There should be one baseball and that's it. You should not be allowed to alter baseballs. We shouldn't have a heavier one, a lighter one. There should be one ball. It's made the same way every year, and that's it. There's no changing of the baseballs. We're going to wind it tighter so we get more home runs. No. People need to hit better. What are we doing? What in the world are you doing?
Well,
you're changing these baseballs. There's always concerns about, are you juicing balls? There's always people who are involved in baseball who know that baseball – because of some of the data that they have, it shows them that baseballs have changed. What are you doing, baseball? Are you this insecure that you have to alter the weight of
part of your
equipment?
How good was it? What did it mean to Major League Baseball to have all of that attention on Aaron Judge
and
the home run
chase? If you changed the course of history based upon intentionally altering the equipment used for one team, you tell me what the punishment should be. If Major League Baseball, whoever was responsible for that, should have 10 times the fine that the Astros did.
Bleacher Report, SI, and now Insider is also saying baseball. MLB used two balls again this year, and evidence points to a third.
Look at the writer of Insider. It's this Bradley Whitford Davis or whatever. So, yeah, be careful about that.
Well, Bleacher Report. Well,
they're all using the same report.
We may not be the only ones that have been duped because Fan Nation and Bleacher Report are also on this thing. So, either we're idiots like they are and they're snickering behind the scenes, our Bradford Wilford, whatever his name is, or we're onto something that nobody else is, Lance. Okay, we're on to something here on this radio show. We're giving you the inside scoop here. Either that or we've been duped. We don't know. But if in fact,
no, but this doctor, she keeps retweeting Dr. Meredith Wills.
She could be a fake account too.
You know? I don't think so. Hall of Fame, serial baseball dissector, Hall of Fame. Really, she's got 11,600 followers. I don't think this is. And she's retweeting people who are retweeting that article. I think this is no. She didn't pay for that. I think it's a real article.
Well, and now all you have to do is pay for a blue check mark.
How about this is so hard now that we have to go through a rabbit hole just to make sure to verify the veracity of a story like this, because this story is bigger than Aaron Judge. This story is bigger than Aaron Judge's contract. That's what ESPN's leading with, but they should be all over this.
Right.
ESPN, for example, even though they're in bed with Major League Baseball, should be all over this.
Absolutely.
Looking into this, because this would be a massive story if Major League Baseball.
Look at Jeff
screwed
passing. The camera's looking up at him. Mm-hmm. Must be. I wonder if he's standing on his chair or something. I don't know. But it looks like he's tall.
Apology coming in 3-2-1 for you.
He looks like he's tall there. 713-780-3776. You want to get it? Oh, Josh Pate is with us next. We got to go. Right now, we got to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing. I really, 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 really like what Billy and Mary and everybody over at Aqueduct. Henry came to my house and he just fixed my stuff. I'm telling you, if you have any issues whatsoever, they're going to come with an absolutely free evaluation and they're going to work on your stuff. I'm telling you, you're going to get the best price on it as well. They're going to give you a thorough evaluation and they're going to work their tails off to whatever it is. If you've got leaks, if you've got water pressure issues, if you've got water heater issues, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's plumbing, Aqueduct Plumbing is here for you. They're awesome, awesome, awesome. Put this number in your phone, 281-488-6238.
Yeah, and it really doesn't matter how big the job is or small, and there's some things they can help you with that you never even thought of as well, like moving gas lines. So make sure that you have this number ready to roll, because Aqueduct Plumbing Company, even if you don't need them now, you know you will need them in the future. You already know that that's going to be the case. So why not have that available right now for you? Put it in your phone, and when you need it, just put plumber, and it's actually Aqueduct Plumbing Company, 281-488-6238.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
If you dip, you chew tobacco. It's a really, really Texas Southern thing. It really is. Up in Chicago, there was very little of that going on when I grew up. I don't know. It just wasn't happening up there. I know some guys that went up from here to New York City, and they were like, oh, no, these guys are really from Texas. Look, they've got chewing tobacco. It's a thing down here, right? Well, here's the deal is you can get out of it. Here's the thing about chewing tobacco is it's dangerous to your lip, to your gums. It's dangerous to your jaw. It's dangerous to your health. You're chewing tobacco. There's nicotine, all kinds of stuff that's just gross. Your teeth are gross, everything. So get out of it. I've got a different way for you to do it. All you have to do is go to 975dip.com. It's hemp in a pouch made of hemp, okay, with CBD oil in it. And you swallow, you don't spit it out because you've got the CBD oil, which has healing qualities for your body. So if you're looking for a great way, a great alternative to what you're doing now, you got all the tastes the same. You could do tobacco, wintergreen, citrus, ice mint, whatever it is you want. Go to 975dip.com and find out for yourself how you can get out of dipping and do it a different way, a much better way. 975dip.com.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Josh Pate joining us right now, National College Football Analyst for 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports HQ. He's the creator and host of The Late Kick with Josh Pate at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. Josh, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not in the transfer portal, so I am the exception to the rule right now.
Most everybody else is. Most everybody else is right now. And we got bowl season coming up, and we got guys that are just going to sit. We got guys who are already in the transfer portal, so they're out for their teams. Josh, the bowl season outside of the playoffs, and we haven't seen it yet in the playoffs where a guy just says, I'm not playing because the playoffs have been. And with the expanded playoffs, it'll be interesting to see if we find any guys that are sitting. But it's really, really difficult now to handicap. If nothing else, I went to the LSU-Kansas State game last year. At the end of it was in January, right? It was like the JV team for LSU. Nobody was playing. And we're going to find this more and more and more now, aren't we?
We sure are. You did a really good job of teeing up what the retort is, though. The retort is from the expansionist crowd. Well, bowl games always were meaningless. Don't worry, we'll expand the playoffs so you won't have to worry about your bowl season anymore. We're just going to give you more meaningful games. And here's the problem. No one wants to admit it. A lot of people can't see it yet, but the ones who can see it don't want to admit it. You cannot expand your playoff. I don't care how many people disagree with me. You can't expand your playoff and keep the same value on making the playoff. Right now, it is absurd for anyone to even suggest a player would sit out of the playoff. The Jackson Smith and Jigba thing's kind of different because he's had injuries. So I'm just saying healthy players deciding to opt out of a playoff game, no one thinks that's possible. And I agree with them in a 14 format. We are headed towards a very slippery slope on which there will be no recovery, by the way, once you're there. That's kind of the nature of a slippery slope, where you're going to have a kid realize a few years into the expanded playoff field, the lower-seeded teams aren't winning. And once people realize the lower-seeded teams aren't winning, someone's going to lock down a 9-seed, and a couple of their players are going to sit out. It will start a trend, and at that point there'll be no turning back because the veneer has been broken of meaningful games, and the value on said playoff games will have been rendered moot because players with NFL aspirations will have exposed it. And at that point, what I'm saying will be realized, but it will also be too late. That is my biggest fear around this sport right now and expanding the playoffs is the deterioration of the value of playoff spots, leading to a kid calling the bluff of the powers that be in the sport and saying, hey, I don't think that's important enough for me to play in. I don't care what kind of ramifications you are pretending to put on it. I'm going to sit out. And at that point, I don't really know what we do.
That's a little bit what I'm concerned about. I think a six team where you have buys for the 1 and 2 really made sense. 8, I think, probably all 8 teams stick around, but once you expand beyond 8, I'm kind of with you. I'm not quite as sure that you're going to have the sitting out, but I do think that it could come to that. I do think that it could end up being that. You certainly don't want to expand beyond that, but we'll see. We'll see. That is a concern once you get beyond the. Now, I know a lot of coaches were concerned that players were, and this has not happened that I've seen. We saw this during COVID where we had opt-outs, especially at Mississippi State, where players just quit in the middle of the season. They just quit. And I know there was a big fear around college football that players would start quitting over the last 2 games and 3 games of the season to, quote-unquote, prepare for the draft. But that has not happened as of yet. So maybe the NIL, and I know the other thought, Josh, was that NIL might keep guys playing longer.
How about paying the Bulls paying them to play in the postseason?
Well, it's their choice with NIL.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, the players, it's your, they've opened the door for you, right, Josh? Now it's your job to go get the money, not college football's.
Yeah, there are a couple of different schools of thought out there about this. And with the NIL kind of addendum attached to it, here's where I think we're going. I think we're in the very infancy of NIL. A lot of people who don't like it right now, and I don't like certain parts of it, I think may end up liking where we end up. Because I think a lot of the mess you see right now with the transfer portal and thousands of names being in there and uncertainty around rosters and how many kids can we take in recruiting, blah, 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 that's going to come to a crescendo. And it coincides, luckily, with these conferences signing these new billion-dollar TV rights deals. Someone's going to get smart enough in these conference offices to say, wait a second, why don't we just get in the game of NIL? And why don't we guarantee a certain percentage to to every player in our conference just for playing in our conference. Here's the addendum that we tie to that. We tie minimum requirements for games completed or seasons completed, and you get access to that NIL money. And I'm talking about legitimate, like, 50, 60 grand a year NIL money, which, by the way, they can very much afford. I've done the numbers on it. If you complete certain requirements, that's the incentive right now that doesn't exist. So, guys, right now, $15,000 is enough to entice about 70% plus of kids who play this sport. Because 15 grand is a lifetime's worth of money in their eyes, because they don't make that right now. Only the select few make big NIL dollars. If I'm guaranteed, just because I play for Wisconsin or just because I play for South Carolina, that I'm getting 30, 40, 50, 60 grand a year as long as I complete certain requirements, that's the incentive for me to provide or yield to some structure being maintained in this sport. And I think that's where we're going to get. We're just on a bumpy road now that we got to go down in order to get to more smooth sailing. But I think that's where we're ultimately headed.
We got Josh Pate with us at Late Kick Josh right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did they get it right? I kind of feel like it should be Ohio State 3 and TCU 4. And I would have rather seen Michigan, Ohio State again, but the committee always stays away from that.
I thought they were going to go the other direction, actually. I was surprised by it. I thought they were going to say to themselves, we remember what happened in 2017 when we, or last year, actually. So it's 2017 and last year. We remember what happened when we set it up to where we could have an all-SEC national title game. Do we really want to run the risk of having one conference in the national championship game? I thought their answer would be no. I thought they would say, if we're going to see a rematch, let's suck it up and let's put it in the semifinal. So I thought we were actually going to see Ohio State and Michigan out there in the desert. I think they would have gotten higher viewership numbers on that particular game.
Yes, but sir, for sure.
They say, and I want to stress, they say, that they don't think about such things. So, hey, who am I? Who am I to call them on their bluff?
And yet John believes, and probably rightfully so, that they did think about not playing Ohio State and Michigan because they didn't want to. I mean, to me, who doesn't want to see that again? Who doesn't want to see a rematch so quickly? You know, I wanted to see that rematch. And I think it's more fair, honestly, to Georgia. I think it's more fair to Georgia because I do think that
they should be playing TCU, certainly from
a point spread standpoint, they'd be much, you know, larger favorites against TCU than they would be against Ohio State. That doesn't mean TCU isn't ultimately the better team, but I do think Vegas would see TCU. Clearly, they do. I've seen the odds. TCU to win the national championship is plus 1,200 right now. Ohio State, I want to say, is like plus 450. 500? It's not as much as you
know. No. I think Georgia did get screwed a little bit, Josh.
Well, you're hitting on something that I think should be a part of this, and that is either one of two things. Either allowing the one seed to choose who they play, or if you don't want to make it that overt.
I love that idea. I love the idea of you choose your own, you choose your own matchup. Yep. I love that.
Well, someone came at me the other day and said, oh, do you really think Georgia would want to fire up TCU with all that disrespect? And I said,
no.
I think they'd gladly take their odds against TCU instead of playing just the raw talent level that Ohio State has in round one. Like, I talked to some folks in the Georgia program at the SEC Championship Saturday, and that was after TCU had already lost. So everyone was in the press box speculating, who are we going to play in round one? And I can promise you those folks leaned heavily towards wanting TCU over Ohio State. So I would be an advocate of letting the one seed choose whoever they play.
Are there any bowl games that really intrigue you?
Not until I know who's playing. I know that's a boring answer, but, I mean, I'm really sitting around trying to wait to find out. I think that Penn State game, like, I love that Penn State. Is it Penn State-Utah, I think? I love that matchup.
That's nice. What about, you think Bryce Young plays?
I do not. I mean, with the way he exited in the Iron Bowl and, I mean, shed a bunch of tears walking off the field, I'd be very surprised if he played in that game.
Yeah, his Instagram post, well, actually, Actually, no, that wasn't a real Instagram post. That was somebody did another
fake post
where he just, yeah, Ball somebody sack? Did a fake
Ball
post.
Ballsack did it?
Isn't it amazing? John and I were going through, Josh, this post about a story about
juice baseballs
and Major League Baseball. And immediately we have to, like, you have to Google, you have to really do research on the person doing it. It's so hard now. You got to make sure that these stories are actually have, you got to go search for multiple sources to find out if these stories are real or not. And I'm sure it's twice as hard with portal stories now or portal comments on, you know, for somebody like you, where you have so many players, so many teams, so many stories that get cycled in a single day. It's so much harder to make sure and double check the veracity of this if you're just trusting people on Twitter.
Yeah, here's the really sad part about that. Like, I'm not pro Ponzi scheme. I'm not pro telemarketing scheme. But at least the people who run those things stand to make money off of fooling people. The folks who make up fake stories are the biggest losers on planet Earth because they're fooling people for nothing. Like, there's no payoff for you at the end. All you know at the end of the day is you got someone to believe something about a player or a coach that wasn't true. Ha, ha, ha.
Right. Like hackers that just do stuff and they don't benefit from it. Why do you do? What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you people?
I don't know. I wish I had the answer. Look, this is why in coaching search season, by the way, you learn. The Pete Thamel, the Ross Dellingers, I just wait on them to report something because there's a cautionary tale right now in the coaching world that TV anchor over in Mississippi who thought he had Kiffin nailed down. I'm halfway convinced Kiffin backed out of the Auburn job just to spite the TV anchor.
I do. I also believe that. Mm-hmm. I think that if that guy would not have come up with that, I think they would have had a deal done in the Heat. Kiffin had to fade the Heat, and I think he basically said, so they're going to give me free money and I can still leave at any point I want? Because basically he got a raise after losing three consecutive games to end the season. And I think basically he just said, well, I have to fade this Heat. I have to face my players where I wouldn't have had to do it before. I'll take the raise, and I can do it later if I want to. Because I do know, I've talked to somebody who said he does not like being in Oxford. I'm sure he'd deny that. But somebody who knows him well told me he is not, and I think maybe his wife is not a fan of Oxford.
No, he had that job agreed to in principle. I mean, I think that's pretty well known behind the scenes. And then there was some time between when the verbal agreement was reached and when pen needed to hit paper. And I'll tell you something else I think Lane Kiffin did, and have it on pretty good authority that he did. I think he hopped in that group text, and I think he asked some of his peers. And I think he let them know what some of the conditions were from Auburn, i.e., hey, they're telling me I need Cadillac Williams on my staff. And I think some of his peers shot back, you're crazy if you enter into an agreement where they're mandating anybody be on your staff. And I think that he was already sort of on the fence about it, and some of the feedback from his peers probably also the incentive of being able to conveniently dunk on a TV anchor. Those sorts of things, I think, pushed him back over to the Mississippi side of the fence.
Mm-hmm. That's Josh Pate with us every week right here talking college football. Man, it's been great. We really appreciate it, Josh. Thanks so much. And let's continue it. Keep on talking about these bowls games and what's going on with college football.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh Pate. Josh Pate right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, let's talk a little. When we come back, how did they used to pay players in college football before NIL?
Paper bags.
And then some.
Cars.
We will talk about it on the other side right here. But first, let's talk a little tequila.
Let's talk about Maestro Dobel and what they do for you. Maestro Dobel is so good. And yesterday, I went to a restaurant. I was in there for a hot second and when I was having a drink. And they did not have Maestro Dobel. And I made a comment. I said, hey, you guys need to have a tasting with Maestro Dobel. And I know somebody who services this area who can get you locked in. And they said, oh, you know, I've heard good things about that. Yeah, the bartender doesn't handle the beverage. He's not the beverage director. He said, I need to tell the beverage director. Listen, if you go to a restaurant on a regular basis, you've heard me talking about Maestro Dobel, ask your restaurant why they don't carry Maestro Dobel and ask them if they would consider it. Because all they have to do is go have a tasting and check out Maestro Dobel. And, boy, you are sold. You can do your own. You can go grab a bottle of Maestro Dobel. And really, you might want to grab two, three to see the different types of tequilas, because what you're going to find out is the same thing I found out. I didn't realize how many different tequilas I liked. Really had no idea. when you have a really well-done tequila with 11 generations of tequila makers making this with the best ingredients and the best processes, you're going to get a smooth finish and a great flavor profile that really hits you in a bunch of different ways. Whether it's Reposado, which is really good with different types of cocktails. You can find citrus cocktails, which are pretty good with that. The Añejo, which I think is fantastic by itself as a sipping tequila. Or the Cristalino, which is one of their best sellers. You are going to find a tequila that is right for your taste buds and price point as well. Maestro Dobel is a premium tequila at affordable prices wherever fine liquors are sold. It's Maestro Dobel.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We were just talking with Josh Pate, college football. NIL now, you can pay players, right? You can pay players. Back in the day, you couldn't. Back in the day, you could not pay players.
You cannot pay players. Colleges cannot pay players.
No, I didn't say the colleges could. I said you can pay players.
Now who's you?
Now they can get paid. I didn't say who you was. I said you can pay players now.
I'm asking you. Who is you?
Boosters, actually. These consortiums that are
put together.
And that's
who was paying them before.
Yeah, right. So that you couldn't before, but you can now. If you're a booster. I didn't say colleges can pay players. I never said that.
No, but it happens. Well, okay, so here's what it was. Colleges would pay players, but it was coming from the boosters. Now, the same money can flow. It just doesn't. You can do it outside of the college getting paid. That's all they did was they eliminated college as the middleman. This is a booster's
don't
money.
Think that colleges still aren't doing it. Don't think that head coaches aren't still deciding where the money goes.
Oh, no.
And where it's distributed.
That's not. That part is not legal.
Yeah. The coaches are not supposed to have anything to do with it.
There's
right. A big school in Alabama where not sure what's happening. What's happening there with that coach and who's deciding what. But that's
UAB?
Another story. I didn't say that school. I'm not going to. I just said
Troy?
A big school. Could be. You don't know. I don't know what's going on at Troy. You don't know what's going on at Troy.
Alabama State.
Nobody knows. So back in the day, you were not supposed to pay players. It happened. The thought that it was always just a briefcase to the kid, a Corvette or whatever. How about they got a little, there was some ingenuity involved. Here's Jordan Palmer on what podcast, RJ? Do you know what podcast it is? No. He's on some podcast, and he's talking about some different ways in which you got paid back in the day.
How they used to do it before NIL is I've heard stories about guys going into poker, online poker rooms, and everybody at the table, raise, here comes the river, fold.
No.
Oh, yeah. And then another one is like parents start landscaping company.
Yeah.
City awards the landscaping company a city contract. Parents don't own lawnmower. I've heard bad ones too about like the church in the hometown. That basket goes around and all of a sudden there's big checks in there. So there's just gnarly stories in the past. At least now it's like out in the open.
That's I love fold.
I don't, but that one doesn't because you got to have a buy-in to get in there.
Yeah, but the kid could have a buy-in.
Oh, well, the buy-in is from somebody else anyway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, give the kid $1,000.
Oh, yeah. If it's like, yeah, how much money...
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, I guess they could keep rebuying.
Yeah, and then they win, and now I want to take my money out, and let's go. And now I got my money.
Yeah,
and it's clean, and it's clean.
Yeah,
right. Wow, crazy. But now the city awarding—that's
a trickier one. Yeah, that's the city. Like that's a really really tough. That involves getting a lot of people involved on
right.
that one.
Right.
It just takes one booster being in charge of
awarding
city controller, whoever decides that. I guess it just takes one booster, but that one could do prison time behind that.
Well, unless you were getting the money privately, not using taxpayer money, then you know it would not be nearly as egregious. If you were using
privatized, if it's privatized, it wouldn't be the city awarding it.
Right.
I mean, so I don't know that one sounds like BS to me now. at least how it would have been done. The landscaping thing, it makes sense that somebody could hire. Yeah.
The city involved is a little.
City, does, but like a major business hiring a landscaping company. Yeah, right. Now, that sounds like something that could happen. And what was the last
Although
one
he had? There would be too close to ties there.
You'd have two landscaping companies.
The parents of the kid's landscaping company was for.
You'd have to look into it. I mean, you could just create a shell company.
Yeah.
With somebody else with
who's ever named,
you know, this name, and then they're just
right.
So
right.
Who were? So what was the last one he said? Also, the poker that was lands. Oh, church. Now that one.
The church,
like,
the basket.
That sounds like something Dr. Cogslaughter would have in Mooresville, Alabama. All right, now we're gonna pass around the basket, and y'all just make sure you put your tithings in here, and we're gonna take care of some different toys for tots and whatnot, bikes for kids who need. Who have club feet and all kinds of things. They got to get special bikes that cost thousands because of whatnot with the foot having no toes. So go ahead and ante up there if you like children. Bing.
Who's
bang,
in the back?
Boom.
Who's
the money I'm hearing right now with players is astonishing.
What's that?
I heard about money for some quarterbacks that I couldn't believe. I didn't know the numbers were that high. We're talking $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, one offer was made for a player to stay in college. He passed it. One was made for a transfer, and he transferred to a team. I think it was $250,000. The money I'm hearing now for quarterbacks is, if it's true, is staggering. Now,
what does a fourth rounder make in his first year?
I got to check.
Fourth
and
fifth rounders. You know what's going to happen? Is guys are going to stay as long as they can now because while they're maybe a fifth rounder, they may be vital to their team.
The average fourth round pick,
let's say to a group of five school, he's going to make more.
$814,000 for the first pick of the fourth.
First pick of the fourth was $814,000.
Yeah, salaries for four rounds range from $814,000 to $733,000.
But you don't. Now listen,
yeah, it's a lot more, dude.
There's no guarantee though that you're making the team.
There's no guarantee, but fifth round salaries range from $698,000 to $669,000. That's a lot more than you're going to get NIL if you're getting drafted. Guys who are getting big NIL money, well, the ones who are getting the money because they're being enticed to come somewhere, that is which is open cheating, but. That money is, for a fourth round type guy, $814,000, that's more than you're going to make. Yeah, you're right. You have to.
You're going to make the team.
You got to make the team.
As a fifth or sixth rounder, there's a lot of times you're not going to make
the
team.
Yeah, there's some good players.
And it's guaranteed money if you
put a fifth round grade on DJ Dale, who's a defensive lineman for Alabama. It's fourth, fifth. For DJ Dale, and mm-hmm. he's a good player, but I think he's going to be like he's a defensive tackle. He's fourth, fifth rounder, and that's the money we're talking about. But I'm hearing much more money for some of these guys. Some of these guys are going to. It's going to make sense for them to stay in school because of the money they're making. Did you have something, RJ?
Oh yeah. Well, I was thinking with the church pastor that you were talking about. I was wondering, did he sound a little bit more like this?
See, that's how I know you're still poor, broke, busted, and disgusted because of how you've been honoring me.
Yeah, are we going to honor this quarterback? That's what they're having to do. They're having to honor the quarterback.
Honor the quarterback. That's how you've been honoring me. Poor broke.
Because he couldn't get a watch. Remember that? He couldn't get a watch. The watch he wanted, was it Movado? I can't remember the watch he wanted. Movado. He couldn't get the watch he wanted. And like, he questioned whether or not they loved God.
Hey.
Or whether he loved him enough.
Hey, have we really gone this entire 2 hours without talking about Cowboy Week? We're gonna delve in.
Oh my gosh, it is Cowboy
Week. It's Cowboy Week. We're gonna delve in. When we come back, we're gonna break down this game, this big game that's coming up on Sunday.
Yeah.
Texans and Cowboys. It just doesn't get any bigger in the NFL when these two teams are going at it, okay? Especially with what's going on, but in both, I mean, how well both teams are playing right now, this is big. So why don't you talk about siding and windows first?
I will. I met with Mary and Philip yesterday. We were talking. Jake Asman and I were talking to them. And they have these windows, these insulated safety windows that I think you really need to know about. We're talking about basically two for the price of one. You've got the safety features and you've got the insulation where you are now able to lower the energy bills, add a degree of safety to your home. Insulated safety windows. Make sure that you ask about them. Now, every window that they install, they're made right here in Texas. every window comes with a guarantee of their protection of winds up to it's well over 100 miles an hour. Now, they have other windows that are even stronger if you live down on the coast. But we're talking about windows that are built for Texas weather. And when I say Texas weather, I mean Houston weather. I mean, yes, hurricanes. Hurricanes are a big part of what we deal with. And these windows are designed for that. But they do add safety. They do add insulation. You can save up to 40% on your electric bills and become much more energy efficient with retrofit windows. And if you bought a house from a local builder, they are not builder grade windows. I know that sounds like you're getting some kind of great window. It's actually the opposite. You're not getting the top windows out there. If you care about having some of the best windows you can find at very, very reasonable prices with a deal with financing available with zero interest for 12 months, it's Allstate Windows and Siding. And yes, siding. Do not forget the Hardy Plank siding, which is going to beautify your home and take it to the next level. It's 713. You can give them a call rather at 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. It's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.